You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
So what urged you to become Filipino food advocates? What are your motivations behind this advocacy?
Yeah, I can get started and hopefully not start crying about this, but I lost my mum about 5 years ago, and it's one of those things that's enabled me to feel more connected with her again. Having being a mother of three young children, it was important for me to actually carry forward the culinary memories that I had with my mother, their Lola Cora, and basically sort of bring it to a platform that allowed them to actually enjoy it and share it with their family and friends as well. So that's why Sweet Cora came to be. It's, you know, a dedication to my mother, but also a dedication to my culture and cuisine. Mm. So that's my key sort of motivation, the memories of my mum. Mm.
I think to me, being first generation Australian, it's always about the stories that you bring from your homeland or your motherland. And a lot of my connection with food came from my Lola, who we lost him about 6 or 7 years ago. But he initially had a very highly regarded restaurant in the Philippines in the 60s, I would say, where, you know, they would bring politicians, and it was very glamorous, and it was right on Rojas Boulevard. Mm. And I think a lot of the reason why my family were able to come here in the first place was because of the success that he enjoyed through his restaurant businesses. So we have a lot to thank cuisine for. Mm. So for me, it was to be able to give back something, you know, to that cuisine and those memories that I was raised with.
For me, it's really just wanting to see more Filipino food in Melbourne, and to share that with our friends and our networks. I mean, we grew up here, most of us, you know, migrated, or I think you were born here as well as Nina. But for us, it's really about being able to share and celebrate and showcase Filipino food in the biggest possible way. Not, you know, having to be invited to someone's home or whatever, but it really is warranted to be celebrated and showcased. So, and then just knowing that Melbourne is such a fabulous destination for food, it's just, where is the Filipino, flavor and profile? It's kind of, it's missing. But at the same time, it's also recognizing that the likes of a John Rivera and Ross McNaye, just locally as well, or Yasmin, they're doing their thing in helping drive that Filipino movement. So we just really, and when we say bio, it's really about collectively doing it together, because a collective voice is much stronger than a single voice, right? And so we recognize that we are one entity, but together, I mean, we're stronger together, I suppose. Mm. And we just see the opportunities in terms of the likes of a Melbourne Food and Wine, but even other major events where we can profile not only food but also film. We're talking to the producers of Ulam, the movie, and looking at how we can integrate that in experience for Melbourne. And I think that's also a good distinction, is that it's Filipino food, but bring it to Melbourne. So we want to sort of find that magic of Melbourne as well as Filipino food, because that's who we are, and this is where we grow up. So so I think that's what my link is, but also at the same time, it's that investment piece as well. Like, I think this is where my work comes into my past career, is about finding opportunities to really, in addition to experiences, but also the investment and trade opportunities. You know, so if we're celebrating Filipino, we're sharing the narrative about how to make and create these recipes, where do the likes of local chefs who want to introduce these kind of foods in the menu, where they go and source their products and the produce for that? So we've been working really well with Alma Argoyoso from Philippine Trade and Investment Team in Sydney, and she's been fantastic in facilitating introductions to these kind of businesses. One company is looking at importing calansip. So how do we...
Oh, the fruit?
The calamansip. So how do you... I mean, we know as Filipinos the power of calamansip, both health benefits as well as food benefits. Mm-hmm. So, but who else is aware of that? And I think it really makes a difference to you know, our barbecue recipes and whatnot. So
yeah, it tastes very different.
It does,
It's not quite the same.
Yeah. So it's raising those opportunities to raise awareness around that, and then creating a demand that will warrant potentially, you know, importing opportunities. And we're so close to, I guess, the APAC region. It just feels like, you know, there's so much opportunity that we haven't tapped into yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited by that.
Wow, okay. Yeah. A lot of plans ahead.
Yeah.
We do speak on behalf of the whole group.
Yes, correct.
The people that couldn't be here today, we've got Nina, Rai, and Feliz Arsacuedes, Nancy Lesiones, and all of us together. It's a combination of, you know, visual photography skills, it's business know-how, you know, it's all of these connections and community building, and even from a communications point of view, like we all come together and have very complementary skill sets. And we see that as really being a way to mature the offering and be able to, you know, hopefully plug other businesses into that and raise them up as well.
Yeah.
And bring everyone with us.
Really. Yeah. Absolutely. So I remember my parents, I grew up in Olongapo, although my parents were Filipino, they work at the civic base, right?
Yeah.
Civic. A lot of, I think your family too,
yeah,
right?
My dad was, I think, was it the welding or something with the ships? Because it was a ship port for the American Army and so forth.
Subic Bay.
Yeah, Subic Bay.
That's right.
So a lot of, our family heritage.
Yeah. So I remember my mum bringing, like, grapes and fruit, because that's very rare, right, from a
tropical
region. And where we're from. So that's always been a luxury item. But I think, you know, with regards to the food, it's everyone sort of has their own specialty. So my Glola, I've seen her make, and she's passed away now, but I've seen her make guava jelly from scratch, you know, guava from the backyard, and creating it's amazing. I feel like I'm missing out on having that experience and passing that on to my children, you know. And so there's all those sort of slow cooking food, really, because, you know, it takes time, and I've seen how they, you know, for a special occasion, they would get the pig and, you know, do the whole thing with the pig, but utilize every single piece of the meat, and so there's no wastage. So when you think about zero waste and all those things that are relevant now, we actually were doing it then. You think about what's trending now, the ube, and the, you know, we were using ube, like, that's one of our staples. So I feel like it's just maybe another chapter in a Filipino journey, so a food journey. So but obviously one of my big ones is Christmas, right, because that's where you get to you make all the special dishes and whatever, right? All the kalamais and the street food is like, oh my, I'm getting hungry now. Just thinking about
like the bibinka,
kakanin,
and so forth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You guys, what were your major dishes you think that you...
My mom has over the years perfected her cassava cake. Like, she just, like, it's something that she has repetitively done, and everyone always asks her for it every occasion, basically. So we would be the testers, much like your kids do in the kitchen. And, you know, always this cassava cake. And I remember one time she started trying to make it a lot healthier, because we were eating it so often that it was kind of ridiculous. So she started to, like, lessen the sugar and, like, use a little bit less condensed milk on top. And then people started complaining, like, you can't make it healthy. It's not the same.
That's true. Right.
But as far as that, you reminded me of... in 2010, I went on a big trip to Abra in the north of the Philippines. So it's, for anyone that doesn't know, it's we got off a plane at Manila, you know, it's an 8-hour flight, whatever. And then I was thinking, oh, we'll go there in the morning, right? No, we got piled straight into a van. My uncle drove us 10 hours north from Manila, like nonstop, all the way up there. You can't even go all the way because you have to be on a barge because there's no bridge. So, you know, the last little bit.
Yeah.
And then we were staying in my grandpa's old place. I got to meet my great-grandma. They killed a pig for us, that one of their pigs, and we ate that one pig for the whole week.
Oh,
like,
wow.
The village came the first night. We were eating the innards. We were eating, you know, every single piece of that pig. By the end of the week, it was done. You know, there was bok choy, there was, you know.
Yeah,
it's a
good
memory. It's something where it's so, they were so self-sustaining.
Yes, that's true.
You know, they would boil the rice and make, what is it called, kalamai? And they just
pounded
this thing. And we
from
all,
scratch.
Yeah, we all took turns, you know, pounding this rice.
Yeah.
Those kind of really tactile sort of memories that you have. Like, you know, it's hard to ever let go of those things because we lose connection with those things here in Australia because we don't have to be so close to, you know, the butchering side or
making rice cakes
from scratch.
My food memory that I love the most is I enjoy merenda, which for non-Filipinos, it's the in-between meal between lunch and dinner. So my mum would always make turon, which is my favourite, Valencia, or for people that call it that as well. So it's basically like banana spring rolls, and it's basically sort of smothered in, not smothered, but it actually is rolled in brown sugar, and by the time it actually cooks in the oil, it caramelises the outside. So when you cut into it, it basically has that crunch, but then the softness and sweetness of the banana saba inside. Mm. So for me, with what I've done to introduce those flavours to my kids is turn it into a cake. So I've made it into a turon cake. Yeah,
it's delicious. Yeah. Oh, so, I'm trying to imagine it.
It's just been one of those recreated notions of my favourite merenda into a cake. Mm-hmm. And essentially it'd be banana cake layers, and then it'd be like dulce de leche mousse in between with jackfruit pieces cut up. And so you have three layers of that, and then it's sort of covered up in the dulce de leche buttercream. So, but the one thing that really sort of brings it back to being the original is having turon pieces that are bruleed or caramelized throughout, and it's just sprinkled over the top of the cake. So when you bite into it, you have the crunch of the original, but the taste of the reinvented, I guess. So,
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to go out for it. Okay, so ladies, as a final word, how can people support your advocacy or promote Filipino food in their own way?
For us, I suppose, just reach out to us because, you know, we're always open to have a conversation, a coffee, and talk about, you know, creative ideas. We're really about creative collaboration, community, and sharing stories and learning from each other. And this is a big learning journey.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.